Hello, I'm Lucy Ashton from Internet of Business, and today I'm joined by Richard Howells from SAP, the world's leading enterprise technology and solution provider. As the VP of Marketing for SAP's Digital Supply Chain Solutions, Richard helps to drive the strategy of SAP's offerings and market direction in the supply chain space. Welcome, Richard, and thank you for meeting with me again, especially so soon after you took part in the Internet of Manufacturing and Supply Chain event, virtually, of course, the month before.
No problem. It's a pleasure to be here. Everything's virtual at the moment.
Exactly. So today we're going to look very deeply into the current state of supply chains globally. Obviously, a need for increased visibility is something that's been driving supply chain experts' technology investment for years. But I don't think many experts were prepared for the way supply chains have been suddenly exposed in 2020. And given that manufacturers, along with the rest of the world, still are grappling with the ongoing effects of COVID-19 as the end of the year nears, we're very much looking forward to hearing your review, Richard, to the response of the crisis.
Look forward to sharing.
Thank you. So to begin with, can you explain how SAP defines the scope of supply chain?
Sure. SAP's got a very broad scope of supply chain, actually, all the way from designing products all the way through their life cycle to how they're operated at the customer's facility. So we break it down into different areas of design, which is the research and development component, the planning, where we talk about end-to-end business planning, sourcing of raw materials and packaging materials, the manufacturing process, the logistics and delivery process, and then finally, from design to operate, the operate and the maintenance of after-sales service of products that you sell and deliver.
So pretty much everything, which is great.
As I said, it's pretty broad.
It's pretty broad. So next easy question. In the face of recent disruptions, i.e. the pandemic, what are the challenges you see in supply chains today?
Okay, so if we step back a little bit, first of all, we're dealing with a global economy that is really evolving into a networked economy, because companies have looked to reduce cost and they've focused on their core competencies and outsourced everything else. So we see a myriad of contract manufacturers, supplier networks, using logistics service providers or maintenance providers to deliver different services across the supply chain. And the challenge is that by leveraging contract manufacturers and suppliers from low-cost regions, we have reduced costs, but we've also increased the risks. So the pandemic hit the plants and borders of China initially, it came back to bite us, because as that a very large proportion of goods flow through the Chinese borders.
Mm.
So really, it started with shortages in supply because of the unavailability of raw materials. And then we saw volatile demand as everyone and their mother were out buying, panic buying the 20 or 30 items that everyone seemed to need in the world, including bread, milk, and toilet paper, of all things. And then demand for other products like luxury items and clothing fell off the cliff as nobody was going out and spending discretionary spending. We also saw constraints in logistics as the ports closed down and flights were cancelled, and constraints in manufacturing as people were forced to stay at home. Mm. And when they went back to work, it was all around environmental health and safety. So supply chains have been severely affected by this, the pandemic, and the businesses that rely on the supply chains, but I think also supply chains have, in many cases, stepped up and helped address some of the challenges that have happened.
Mm. Well, that's great to hear that they've risen to the challenge. And what strategies have you seen companies take to address and rise up to these challenges to enable more agility across their supply chains?
Well, apart from the obvious ones around agility, where companies we saw produce products that they'd never produced before, ventilator manufacturers working with automotive companies and sharing their designs so that they could become, in effect, a contract manufacturer for producing ventilators, or alcohol and perfume manufacturers making hand sanitizers. But we're also seeing companies rethink their supply chains to address some of the issues that have arisen as a result of the pandemic. We've seen companies identify alternative sourcing strategies so they can balance global and local supply chains and rethink where they do their manufacturing, and having a balance of offshoring and nearshoring and onshoring. We've seen companies leverage planning capabilities to optimize inventory positions around the globe, to have buffer inventories of key components or key products which would be in high demand, and to minimize the impact of disruption. And we're seeing companies drive faster and faster, or shorter and shorter, planning cycles. The sales and operations planning process is a key process within many companies, and historically it's been monthly, but we're seeing companies do their planning cycles in weekly buckets now, and in some cases daily buckets. And it's having the ability to, it's fine to be able to plan much quicker, but if you can't adapt your execution processes to be and be more agile in execution, then planning is a bit of a waste of time if you can't take advantage of what planning recommendations have been made. So having more responsive execution systems have also been key. When I go back to planning, the companies are leveraging planning scenarios where they can do what ifs and simulations to work out alternative strategies of, should they add a production line? What if they moved a plant from point A to point B? So there's all sorts of things going on around supply chain to help people be more resilient, to be more agile, and be more responsive and adaptive to change.
Well, I mean, it's really, really impressive what, you know, companies have managed to achieve in less than a year. So, you know, looking forward, which technologies hold the most promise for supply chain companies?
Well, I think what we're seeing a lot is companies need to be, the key word that I'm hearing all the time is supply chain resiliency and agility, and having the ability to make better decisions and react to them. And it's all about data and information, and it's putting that information in the right business context for your particular job. I may be working on a plant floor. I want very detailed information about that production plant. You may be the plant manager. You want the same information, but at a higher level of granularity across all of the lines within your facility. And it starts with data. The Internet of Things is one technology that we're seeing a lot of adoption of at the moment, and that generates huge amounts of data. And this, if you add to that improved customer data from structured and unstructured sources, such as sentiment analysis, then you get from social media, you get a true view of what the customer is thinking, because you need to plan based on actual demand. And once you've got all of this data's great, but it's no good unless it's put in the business context. It's no good if I can't leverage it to improve my job, to make better decisions. So we're seeing companies leverage data with their users to drive predictive capabilities and analytical capabilities. We're also seeing them use data to drive automation, to leverage machine learning to improve their algorithms and planning algorithms, and to drive artificial intelligence across the shop floor. So there are many technologies that I see a lot of promise for, but the key is that there's no point having doing technology for technology's sake. You have to start with a business issue. You have to start with the business problem you're trying to solve, and then identify how to best address that problem with the correct solutions and technologies if required.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So the final easy question is, if you had a crystal ball, what do you see for supply chains in 2021 and beyond?
Okay. It's always dangerous to predict the future, as we found out this year.
Yeah.
With that in mind, there's a few certainties. I think supply chains will continue to be front and center. I mean, I have never been in an environment where supply chains are talked about in presidential and government gubernatorial daily briefings, and even at the dining room table at my house. So supply chains are a hot commodity, and they'll obviously play a large part in the vaccine, the race for a vaccine, and then the production and distribution of that vaccine. Because from what we're hearing of reports, the Pfizer vaccine, for example, needs to be moved around at minus 70 degrees. So that's an ultra cold chain supply chain, which is a challenge. So it's going to be critical to, and the volume of vaccines that are required, it's just going to be a logistical challenge. But as I said before, resiliency is a key word that we're hearing a lot about supply chains. The agility to sense and predict and respond to changes, to pandemics, to disruptions, and to opportunities. Hopefully there'll be more opportunities than disruptions as we move through 2021. And having the productivity to improve, to leverage automation to improve productivity and to react and respond to the demanding markets. And also having tools in place so that you can better collaborate across your network, so you have better visibility across the multiple tiers of your supply chain. But the other big topic I think is critical is sustainability. If you look at any company's purpose, if you go to their webpage, pretty much it's 100% around sustainability, improving people's lives, improving the world. Because as consumers, I think we're more and more demanding ethically sourced products that are designed with sustainability in mind, that are, for example, biodegradable or recyclable at the end of their life. We want to make sure that they buy from companies that manufacture and deliver with minimum carbon impact or a carbon neutral, and that these products perform and operate in an environmental friendly way and can be repurposed at the end of their life cycle. So I think sustainability was a big issue before the pandemic. It took a backseat during the pandemic, but we did see examples of reducing manufacturing and how that improved the air quality of certain cities in China, so we did reduce carbon emissions by default by stopping manufacturing in certain parts of the world and reducing the transportation, even though that was out of necessity. And I think sustainability will be a big thing moving forward. So the two words for supply chains in 2021 for me are resiliency and sustainability.
That's very positive to hear. Well, thank you. Thank you again for your time. And before we say goodbye, do you have any final words of wisdom to share with IOB's listeners?
Well, first of all, I'm assuming this will be published in the next week or two. So happy Thanksgiving to everybody. And I'd like to give thanks to all of the first responders and the medical people and the workers that have been putting their life on the line. Hope everyone stays safe and well.
And absolutely.
Hopefully supply chains can help in that area.
Yeah, absolutely. And a share your thanks. I hope you have a lovely Thanksgiving and take care, and that we can speak to you soon.
Yes, hopefully we'll get to see each other physically at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, thanks a lot, Richard.